God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of our God. I like to add that little last phrase because many times when we are in service and then when we sit, we become a little more casual and we kind of forget that the presence of God is here. How many of you will witness with me that Jesus is here? See, I understand the fact that sometimes we get comfortable, but I always want to acknowledge his presence because if he's not here, I don't want to be here. So when I recognize his presence, there's something else that begins to happen in me because he begins to be able to operate in me and through me. And it just brings me a joy to be here today. Let me just try to do my best with protocol. I honor the Spirit of God in this house today, and your great pastors, Pastor Louis and Tina Kayton, I honor God for them. Would you give God a praise for them? If you feel like it, you could stand to your feet and acknowledge the leadership that God has placed in this house.
Yes, 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 yes.
I love it. I trust you'll film this and show him later the response. And it's very important. If you become too casual with your pastors, you will never receive the anointing that's in them. If you take it for granted that, oh, that's just Pastor Louis, they did it in Scripture, if you recall. They said, oh, that's Joseph's boy, talking about Jesus. And they relegated him to the human. But even 700 years before Jesus came into the earth, Isaiah said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He saw Jesus and he saw the Christ. He saw Mary's baby and then he saw the Son of God. All at the same time. So you need to recognize what God has placed in them. And let me just say, if you follow faithfully, you can receive the double. I got scripture. I've done a series on it. So don't mess with me because I'll prove it. If you follow faithfully, and I'll just kind of sum it up. Elisha followed Elijah. And we call Elisha the servant of Elijah. But if you read a little farther, when Elijah was caught up in the chariot, Elisha said, my father, my father. So he received him really as father. So he was able now to receive the double portion. Now, I think some of you who are Bible readers remember that Elisha said, I want the double portion anointing that you have on you. And Elijah said, you ask a hard thing, but if you follow properly, you got to get that. If you follow properly, you'll receive the double. And Elijah did not even realize when Elijah was caught up that he had received the double. He was frustrated that his father was gone and he took the mantle and said, where is the God of Elijah? And when the water parted, he realized, I do have the double. Now, Elijah is credited with 14 major miracles. Elisha, the son, is credited with 28 major miracles in his life. That was the double that God gave him. So if you follow pastors carefully, and when I say follow carefully, I mean don't debate, don't rationalize, don't decide if he tells you to do something. Well, I don't know if that's God. You're not following faithfully. You got to do it. And I found that if you do it, there's an anointing that will come on you just through your obedience that you have never experienced before. Now, you got to get that because we deal in logic and we deal in all kinds of educational areas and we outthink God. You don't need to try to do that. And the God that he has placed in your life is in you, but he's also in your pastor to lead you. And sometimes they'll ask things that don't always make sense. But I found when you obey, there's an anointing, there's an increase in your life just through your obedience. Now, I have personal experience in this, and my pastor used to call me sometimes. I was a minister of music, and when it was time for prayer, he would call me and to pray for people, and I got nervous, and I said, no. And I always backed off, and one day, one Sunday, he called me, and I said, no. And he said, I heard something on the inside of me say, stop telling me no. And I looked around to see who was whispering in my ear. Nobody was paying any attention to me. It was God telling me, every time you tell him no, you tell me no. And I stood up and I walked on up there. And as I walked up, things started changing on the inside of me. And when I started praying for people, things started happening. And most of it happened with me. I was about to pass out while I lay hands on others. And I think if I had been obedient earlier, I wouldn't have been so mesmerized by the Spirit of God that was on me. And folk were just falling. And I'm thinking, wow. And he said, don't you dare take credit. Because sometimes we like to, I'm a Westerner, you know, in my mind. I don't have my horse, but it's all in my mind. We want to notch our gun every time something happens with us. We want to say, yep, that was me. No, it wasn't. It was the God in you. And I praise God for your pastors. And I'm really humbled by this opportunity. And Dr. Kayton told me that he had been teaching on faith. And he's also been teaching on evangelism. And he said, I know faith is right down your alley. And I said, yes, I've grown up on that, and I've really been nurtured in the Word by that. So I just want to talk to you today on understanding the principles of faith. It's a real simple Sunday school lesson, but I believe you can grasp some things. Now, here's the problem with most seasoned saints. They will hear the fact that you're going to preach on faith, and they kind of feel like, oh, I know that already. And then you miss most of what God wants to say to you because you're already so knowledgeable. I've learned that I can draw from things that I've heard 1,000 years because the Word of God is inexhaustible. So I don't care what revelation you have heard, God wants to give you something new. Now, let me just tell you, I may say something that Pastor Kenton has already taught you, but if you will receive what is coming to you today, the Holy Spirit will speak inside of you and give you brand new revelation. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is you may have already heard it and already know it, but if you will just humble yourself and just open yourself, Holy Spirit will speak some things inside of you that I may not have even said. I used to be puzzled that I'd take notes while the pastor is preaching, and there were some complaints among some of the young people that, well, we've heard that before. He says that all the time. I said, if you will humble yourself and write notes, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. You want it to come deep out of somebody else when God said, I put it deep in you. But all you have to do is submit yourself to me. And while they're talking about things you already know, I will speak to you on stuff you've never heard before. So allow Holy Spirit to speak to you today while I talk about understanding the life principles of faith. And the word life principles, these are laws. And what you need to understand is these laws apply to the Christians, but it also applies to the non-Christians. When God puts a law in place, if you work it, it'll work for you. If a sinner works a law, it's a law. I need you to understand what I'm saying. But the advantage of a Christian is you have a major advantage because you got Holy Spirit on the inside. So it'll work better for you than it'll work for somebody. Now, certain laws like gravity is going to work the same with everybody. You understand that? Okay? Let me give you a definition now from Webster on what he calls faith. And I'm basing some of this on Hebrews 11:1. You've heard it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Isn't it interesting that when people ask you, what is faith, that's what we quote? And most of the time they are left just as blank as they were before you said it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then they stick their chest out. Well, what did you just say? I don't even know if you understand that. That's a good definition, but that's not all of it. Sometimes you hear it, but it needs to be broken down. Now, Webster says it's a settled conviction in regard to religion of true fidelity, true and constant in one's belief. And the word faithful means true to one's word, conformity to the letter and the spirit. Now, the Moffat translation quotes Hebrews 11:1 by saying, now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. I don't know if you got that. Now faith means that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. The English Bible says faith gives substance to our hopes. I don't know if that's speaking to you, but it's beginning to open up some things. Faith, your faith gives substance. Okay, somebody said, well, what is substance? Substance is that of which a thing consists or is made up. So faith is the substance. It gives substance to your hopes. It is a substance is something material. The essential or material part, firmness, goods, substantiality, that which exists independently and unchangeably. We're talking about substance. Faith gives substance. Your faith in God will give substance to what you believe. And notice it says, faith is now faith. And some people say faith is now, and that is true. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Notice it says hoped, past tense. When you move in faith, you have moved away from hope. Okay, I'll have to break that down so that, because some of you are looking at me like a calf at a new gate. I'm kind of country. I tell people I'm about as country as a sugar sandwich. I don't know if you ever had one, but when there's no jelly, you got to do something. So I want to keep it simple, and so that we can work this thing together, because faith is so vital. It's amazing how God set this up. He set it up like, if you go to the Bible to try to prove who God is, you never will. It ain't about proving who he is. It's about having faith and believing who he is. He didn't leave anything in the earth for you to all of a sudden decide, I can prove to you. No, it's all by faith. See, that's what messes people up. It messed Israel up back in the day when they said, everybody has a king. We want a king also. And God said, I am your king. And they said, no, no, no. We want one we can see, that we can put on a throne, that we can stand before and bow. And he said, I am your king. And they insisted on a tangible human king. And God said, when you get it, he's going to take your land. He's going to take your children. He's going to abuse you. And they said, we still want a king. And then when stuff started happening, they got upset. Well, God forewarned them. And they still insisted. Sometimes when God speaks to you about something, you gotta by faith believe him and just walk it on out. Oh, the road is bumpy. It's not smooth. The problem with us, we want everything just so-so. It ain't gonna always be. Your faith will be tried. James, the book of James talks about that. If your faith is not tried, you don't know what you're working with. Before you bought that car was tried out many times by mechanisms to see how many times the door can slam before it falls apart. So your faith will also be tested. Your faith in God, your faith will be tested, okay? Let's see. You know what the King James says, but it says now faith is the substance of things hoped. And I need you to get that, because hope is, and I'll explain it a little later, but hope is futuristic. And we must have hope. But we need to understand what we have hope in. There's some things you don't have to hope for, because you've moved past. Hope is futuristic. Hope is like you getting ready to build a house, and you have the blueprints from the architect, and you take it to a friend, and you said, "Man, look at my house." And you open a paper and you start spreading it out and say, "There's my living room. There's my dining room. There are my bedrooms. And each bedroom has a bathroom." You know, you don't have bedrooms. You got suites. You know, because you got a bathroom in every one. You can pretty much, you know, do what you need to do before you ever come out. But the friend is not impressed because it's a piece of paper. That's hope. Hope is, see, he saw the house, but your friend didn't see the house. He said, "All he showed me was some paper." But when the house is built, that's when you have moved from hoping you have a house to faith that I have it now. Now, faith is going to extend that a little farther, because faith is going to tell the person with the art, with the blueprints, "I have it now. You can't see it, but I have it already." See, that's where we have a difficult time. Faith is believing in the unseen before you ever see it, because you see it on the inside of you. Are you getting that? You got to have it before you have it. You got to see it in color before you see it. But you got to see it. Everything God created, he created it by faith. He had it already on the inside, and it was already exactly the way he wanted it. And when he spoke it, the very thing that was in him came out of him. So that's the kind of faith you got to have. You got to walk by faith to the point that you're talking to your friends and they think you lost your mind. And in essence, you did, with your crazy self. But if you lost your mind, that's when you can develop the mind of Christ. I'd rather lose this little simpleton mind of mine and have the wisdom of God operating in me. And that's even by faith. You'll never get so much wisdom till you won't need your faith in God. Because there's some things you cannot prove, but God will show up and show the evidence of your faith. I don't know if you're getting that. Some of you, well, let me. The word evidence. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The evidence was in the blueprint. I can tell you, I own a car. I won't specify. I own a car, and you may not believe me, but if I pull out the title to the car and show it to you, that becomes my evidence. So in the Word of God, when you want to believe something, you may not have the thing you're believing for, but what do you have? Faith in His Word, and you show them the Word that says that I have it now. See, your evidence is going to be the Word of God, and you're going to use that for your evidence. Evidence means that which demonstrates or makes clear that a fact is so. The Word of God will demonstrate inside of you, or it'll make clear that the fact that you just spoke is so. Now, they may not see it, but you know it's true. You just tell them, "Keep watching, keep watching, keep watching, keep watching, keep your eyes on me. I'm going to show you what God's going to do." Evidence enables the mind to see truth. Evidence enables the mind to see truth. Okay? Now, proof legally submitted as a means of ascertaining the truth of any matter of fact. Now, you'll find this in law departments. They really got to have evidence. And the beauty of evidence is you can be a witness to something and have the evidence. And, you know, you don't have to get on the stand and get excited. You ever seen witnesses talk about something that they saw and know? They don't have to get on the stand and go crazy. They need to be just level-headed and witness. See, that'll take some of the fear out of witnessing. I was in a grocery store, and I was by myself, and I was doing some shopping and picking up some food, and a lady with her child came by, and God said, witness to her. And I said, Lord, all I'm trying to do is get some groceries. I don't want to bother that lady. She might think I'm trying to be, you know, weird or whatever. You know how it is today. You really got to be careful, because folk will take you wrong. And I'm saying, Lord, why are you going to do this to me? All I want is some, I can't tell you what I was buying. I was trying to cook some red beans and rice and cornbread. And I needed some ham hocks and some smoked neck bones. You don't know nothing about that. I know some of you said, well, he should have had turkey. You eat the turkey. You can't even trick me. I'm from South Carolina. We rode the hog hard. I could never be a Muslim. I got to have a ham every now and then. And I said, okay, I'm going to get what I want, and I'm going to get out here. And wouldn't you know every time I turned around, she was right there? And I said, come on, Lord, just give me this one time, and I'll be out of here. Every aisle I turned, they were there. I said, okay. I said, witness, you were talking about evangelism and how difficult it can be even for us preachers. Well, I was a pastor at that time, and I still, you know, I just wanted to mind my own business and get my own stuff and get out of there. And I mean, I finally decided, okay. And when she came down one aisle, I said, ma'am, I don't want to disturb you, and I don't want to hold you up, but I just needed to tell you how much God just told me he loves you. I said, you are so special to God. I said, if only I could show you what I'm saying. It's so powerful until I've been trying to avoid you, and I cannot. Because God kept bringing me back to you saying, tell her how important she is to me. Tell her how much I love her. And I said that, and I was free. I took off. And you know what? I didn't have to take her through all the steps. The Apostle Paul says, one plant, one water, help me out, it's God that gives the increase. Kenneth Copeland was saying one time, he said, I was on the campus at ORU, and God told me to go out and witness, and I knocked on my first door, and the man opened the door, and he said, I just want to tell you how much God, and the boy, man slammed the door. He said, I don't want to hear about that God mess. And slammed the door. Kenneth said, it was the end of my time of witnessing. He said, I went on back to the dorm. And he said, when I got back to the dorm, I was so disappointed. I said, God, why would you send me out and they treat me like this? And they don't even want to hear what I got to say. He said, don't you know I can work with what you just said? He said, I can work with that little bit you just told him. And Kenneth said it wasn't even a year later that man was in church on the altar worshiping God. Why? Because one planted, the other watered, and God gave. You can just tell him God loves you, and that'll trigger something where something else is going to happen. But we want to do it all ourselves so we can get the credit. Let God be glorified in whatever you do, okay? Okay, that's just a part on evangelism I wanted to throw in there, because that's so important. It's amazing that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, but we don't want to share it with others. You are a multimillionaire in every respect, or a billionaire, but you're not willing to share it with anybody. You got something greater than money. Now, notice he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this perfect spirit in imperfect bodies. You're not going to always get it right. You're not going to always do it right. But you got to believe that God is walking with me, and he promised never to leave me. He said, "Lo, I'm with you always." Kenneth Hagin said, one man changed his name. He changed it to Lo. Because the Bible said, "Lo, I'll be with you." So he said, "I want my name to be Lo, so God will remember me. Lo, I'll be with you." Some of y'all didn't get that, but he sounded like something I would have done. Another translation of Hebrews 11. Faith is the warranty deed that the thing for which you have fondly hoped is at last yours. Now, that's another translation. Faith is the warranty deed. See, you got the deed. You got the word of God, which is your deed, that the thing which you have fondly hoped, past tense, hoped for, is at last yours. Now, it's not always physically yours, but spiritually on the inside, you've developed your faith to the point where you have it all on the inside. And now, as you speak it, you begin to nurture that thing, and it has to come to pass. Now I'm talking scripturally. Now you can't just start praying for somebody else's husband or wife and say, "I believe God," because sometimes we do some foolish things. And was it Dr. Fred Price wrote a little booklet years ago, "Faith, Foolishness, and Presumption." You got to decide, where are you in that? Are you in faith? Are you in foolishness? We had a man at the church years ago when we had a stewardship campaign. He pledged $1 million. And my wife called me and said, "What should I do with this?" I said, "File it in the rectangular file by your desk on the floor, the garbage can." Because when I looked at the tithe, he wasn't even paying his tithe. If you're not paying your tithe, how can I trust you to give $1 million? He told me, he said, "When God give me that million, I'm bringing it right to the church." I know, I did the same thing, that expression you had, that's the way I felt. I said, "Please." I said, God said, "What you do with the little, I'm watching what you do with the little." Vicky Winan said, "I used to pay my tithe out of my welfare." Y'all remember when they used to have them books? For 3 months, we struggled. And I had to go on welfare 3 months years ago. And it was hard for me, but I figured I paid into it. I might as well draw some of it. And honey, we shopped like a monster. We went through the grocery store, throwing everything in there. I said, "Hell, let's just put that in there." When you ain't paying for it, you can act stupid. We ate good. And when it was time to check out, y'all know this story. When it was time to check out, I told my wife, "Honey, I'm going to go get the car and I'll pull it around." Mm-hmm. She said, fine. That's fine. I'm walking out the door and she's standing there licking her thumb. How much more you want? And she was not ashamed. I was ashamed. I took off. I said, "I'll be right out front. I'll valet park for you." She didn't care. She said, "You go on. I bet you when I cook it, you'll be there." I said, "Baby, I'm going to be there before you finish cooking. I'm going to sample it in the kitchen." But I didn't know how to deal with that because, I'd never been there before. And they called me and told me, "Listen, if you're going to be on welfare, you got to work to get it." And that a lot of people did not. I got on the back of that truck and picked up trash on Gulf Road as long as they wanted me to. I figure I'm eating good. I might as well work a little. And I was not ashamed. I mean, when certain cars came by and I thought I knew them, I put my head down like I was busy. You know how you do.
And you peek to see if that car is gone. Look, I'm just being real, okay? It wasn't easy for me. But I knew I needed to do it because I had already gotten the assistance, okay? And, you know, my wife always, when she teaches, sometimes she referred to, when we were on welfare, I said, will you qualify that and tell him it was only 3 months? You know, she act like we were on there 2 or 3 years. Come on, just tell him 3 months. You got folks say, Pastor was on welfare. I wonder how many years, you know. Clear that up and help the brother. You know, I feel like a deadbeat. She said, we were on welfare. Oh, my goodness. I still ain't got that over to her. Y'all pray for her. Really, I'm the one need prayer because I'm trying to qualify the fact that I wasn't on that long. What difference does it make, really, huh? Somebody that's been on that 4 years may need to hear it her way. Because if I tell them my way, they may not have a lot of faith and say, my God, I've been on it for 4 years. You need to know, no matter how long you were caught in something, you don't have to stay there if you will develop your faith. Walk this thing out and let them think you're crazy, but claim it by faith in Jesus' name. And when you claim it, you better say something. Don't tell me you walking by faith if you haven't said anything. The Apostle Paul explained in our terms, even in our terms today, faith is laying hold of the unrealities of hope and bringing them into the realm of reality. If it's finances, you hope for finances to pay your bills. But faith gives you the assurance you'll have the money when you need it. Now understand, I said you'll have the money when you need it. There are some prerequisites that Pastor talked about today. Why is it that we want so much from God, but we give him nothing? It's about, you know, one of the greatest revelations that Oral Roberts said he had was the sowing and reaping and the power of sowing and reaping. And he said that was one of the most powerful because he realized I have to sow something to get something. What's the scripture? Give and it shall be. How? Wait a minute. Good measure. See, I told you I'm country. Good measure. Good measure means you're supposed to got a bushel, but you got a little extra. Good measure. That's over the normal amount. Pressed down. Help me out. Shaken together and running over will mean given to your bosom. So that means you got to sow something to God and then men will come and sow into you. Now, if you sow rummage sale clothes, there's nothing wrong with rummage sale clothes, especially if you can't wear it anymore or you don't need it. And some of you know I'm hitting something here. That's why it's getting quiet. You got stuff in your closet, still got the tag on it, and you say, I'm going to save it until I lose 30 pounds. Now, that's going to take some faith. Because by the time you lose that 30 pounds, the clothes going to be out of style. So you should have sown that thing to somebody brand new and blessed somebody with it instead of trying to sell it, give it away. I've been telling my wife that for years. We got a basement full of junk stuff. I'm going to put it in the rummage. I said, it's been in there twice and it didn't sell. Maybe God is trying to tell you something. Give it away. So every time she go out of town, I fill the curb up. And when she comes back, she said, I hope you don't tell me you threw away. I said, well, I'm going to make sure that your hope comes true. Because I'm not going to tell you I threw it away. Never missed it. How you going to miss something that's been sitting down there 4 years and you never used it? How you going to miss that? Well, some of you do because you go and check. That's how she knew. She went down there and said, where's my stuff? It's blessing somebody. That's what it's doing. Now, when I say when you believe in God for finances, you got to do the laws that God put in place. Give and it shall be given unto you. Tithe is about love, not about law. You do it because you love him so much. You just want to do whatever he says. I don't care how hard it is on me. I want to do it. And you got to sow long enough to receive. Some of us sow today and want it tomorrow. That's not the way God works. He wants you to continue to sow by faith. Believe him no matter how tight it gets. Vicky said, I used to give my food stamps. And God blessed her with a mansion now, driving a Rolls Royce, everything she ever wanted and needed because she was faithful in the little. Jesus said, if you're not faithful in the little, you will not, and we're talking about faith, you will not be faithful in the much. And he will not even give you your ministry if he can't trust you with the little. Some of us are believing God for ministry gifts and being able to work. God said, I can't trust you with the tithe. So why should I give you a ministry? What are you going to raise up? You're going to raise up a bunch of ignorant or rebellious people that won't do what the words say. And you're feeling guilty because you never did it. We got too many churches even in the city that were raised up because they were mad at the folk where they were. You know what I call them? Rebel churches. You left under rebellion. How do you expect to raise some obedient children of God? You're gonna produce who you are. And when it busts out in your church, you need to understand, I didn't start this because God called me. I started because I was mad at that other church. God can't bless a mess. He cannot. So sometimes we got to go back, clean up our mess, and then start. I didn't have to do that because God knows I didn't want to leave. I did not want to leave. I did not want to do this. But God insisted. Now, when I say you'll have the finances, you do the fundamentals. And let me tell you something. You ever heard the old folks say he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time? Well, he is always on time, but he's not always on my time. See, I need to clear that up because too many of you have been disappointed. You know good and well you didn't have that rent money when you needed it. And then we say, well, you keep saying he may not get. Yeah, he will come, but he will not necessarily come on your schedule. Lord, I need it by the 1st. And the 15th, you still don't have it. What do you do then when you don't hear from God? Keep walking by faith. Keep believing. I got so far behind on one bill, I called the man and said, look, I don't have it. I don't know when I can get it, and I don't need to make a whole lot of commitments to you. And one of them said, well, I need it by. I said, well, I just told you I don't have it. So since you need it by then, I hope you get it. Click, click. Let's sit there and argue with him. I told him I didn't have it. How can I commit to something I know I don't have? So I hung up on him. Now, I don't suggest you do that. But one man I called about the bill, and the lady said, oh, thank you so much for calling. I felt like I'd done something special. I'm almost 2 months behind, and she's happy that I called. I said, what do I do now? She said, just because you've called, I'm going to make a note that you called and that you're still trying to pay it, but let's just put these 2 months on the end of your account and we won't charge you any extra interest or anything else just because you called. Too many of us tell us, back in the day, the insurance man used to pick your money up at your house. Ooh, I hated that. He felt like a bill collector to me. I hated it. I said, don't come to my house. Let me mail that thing in. I don't want to see you every month. And some of us, when they used to come, we'd hide behind the door and tell the kids, tell them I'm not here. You got the kids 4 years old lying. And the insurance man would say, tell your mom next time when she leaves, take her feet with her. You forgot your feet were sticking out from under the door. Sometimes you just got to face the fact and believe God. And God has come through so miraculously for us. I got stories that I could tell you that should build your faith. Because we were at a place where we were just pretty much hopeless. And God stepped in and and completely annihilated the dead. So he may not come when you want him, but he will be on his time. So maybe you need to grow some in your faith. Sometimes we want faith to work everything out for us, but God said your faith is not matured yet, so you need to wait a little longer. So you get behind, but you still got to believe. Our problem is we start dropping off instead of continuing to confess that you have it now in Jesus' name, and you will settle for nothing less than his best. So you got to keep claiming it, that it's taken care of, because I've already taken it to him. And that kind of faith, he may come late, but he's going to... We got behind on our house note because I was laid off. And the other house, the little house we had on Warden, and I was 6 months behind. I said, oh, God, one day I'm going to come home and the locks are going to be changed and I don't know what to do. And I just kept trying to believe God, and finally it went to court. And I said, oh, God, I'm going to go in this court and be embarrassed with all these people sitting here. I walked in court. There was nobody there but the VA rep and the judge. And the judge read off everything and said, what do you say? I said, I only have 2 months. It seems like every time I get two, three is due. When I got three, four is due. And I just never had enough to, and they would accept nothing but all of it. And I said, I just haven't had it. I've been laid off. I explained everything. And the judge looked at the VA rep and said, what do you say? He said, Judge, this man is a veteran of the Vietnam era. And we're not going to press him. Tell him that he can take the 3 months he has back home, and we'll put the 6 months at the end of his mortgage. That was God. But what did I have to do? I had to continue to believe and walk by faith when everything looked impossible. I had to keep confessing, God, you've taken care of this, because I took it to you. And I kept saying, but I don't see it, but I don't see it. And he said, you got to see it in here. And I tried my best to see it in here. And after it was all over, I'm driving home saying, Lord, 6 months? Couldn't you have whispered to me sometime in my prayer and said, I got you covered. I said, you never said anything to me. He said, how am I going to develop your faith if I keep talking in your ear when I've left you 66 books? Did you get that? I left it right in here. This is your evidence that I'm going to take care of it. Did you pull your evidence out? No, you want a personal word from me. That's what he said. He said, I gave you a personal word. Now, I can't get any more personal, he said, unless I write a book with your name on it. He said, you want your life exposed like David? You want your life exposed like some of the other people in the Bible? I said, no, Lord, I'll accept this. Because God said, if I write a book with your name on it, I got to tell all your business. I said, no, thank you, please. So I had my word all the time, but I wanted a special word straight from God. And God said, I gave you 66. Sometimes they say if you want to hide something from a person, put it in a book. You need strength to do a job. Remember, the principles, the laws are settled. There's so much I need to cover. Somebody got to give me a time because I don't know much about time. I'm about up, right? Where is it? What does that mean? Yeah, but how much more time do I have? About 2 minutes? I can't go over because I got to go somewhere else. And I'm bad about that, because there's so much that I need to tell you about your faith walk, and your mouth will speak what is in your heart. So you got to be careful what's in your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, and it's got to be in line with faith. I hear music real soft. Does that mean I'm supposed to wrap it up? Okay. I don't know. I don't know. I got to ask. You didn't tell me. So why are you laughing? You should have helped me out, and then I will. Okay. Okay. Okay, when it's all over, shut my mic off. Then I'll know. Then I'll know, shut up. The force of faith is released by words. Faith-filled words put the law of the spirit of life into operation and not the spirit of death. Faith-filled words dominate the laws of sin and death. That's Romans 8 and 2, in case you're wondering. When Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. That's an example of faith-filled words. And why did he say, Lazarus, come forth? Because if he had said, come forth, the whole cemetery would have emptied out. So he had to say, Lazarus. And even when Lazarus came, he was still bound by clothes that people had put on him. Now, how does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, not just these two things, but the hearing of the heart. Okay? If you look at that, you'll see heart in it. Faith comes by hearing. If you look at the heart, and I know you already heard this, if you see the word heart, there's an art to listening to the Spirit. And it's all in his word. So the last three letters of heart is A-R-T. So there's a special art to you hearing from God. And if you look in the middle of heart, you'll see three letters, E-A-R. But that's the ear of the Spirit. Jesus said, let he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. An ear. You got two. So obviously he wasn't referring to these. He was referring to something deeper. Okay? Jesus, that's just too much. That's just too much. That's just too much. You got to hear with the heart. Okay? Faith is a product of your spirit. Faith comes into your spirit by hearing God's word and continues the same way. You got to feed yourself constantly, sometime with the same word, to establish yourself on the word. You understand, you got to be established on the word. You can't be wishy-washy. You can't be saying one thing today. That's why God looked at it and said, how can bitter water and sweet water come out of the same fountain? Simply because you were not grounded in his word. And even when times got harder, you spoke what your mind is saying and what circumstances are saying rather than what the word is saying. Psalms 119 and 130 said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It brings understanding to the simple. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. What are you saying? Are you speaking life or are you speaking death? You got to develop your faith in God where no matter what happens in your life. And see, every situation that happens in your life is an opportunity to grow in your faith. Your faith can be increased, and sometimes it's going to be increased by trials, tribulations, adversity, stuff coming against you. You can't develop faith by just floating along. Stuff got to come against you. You got to have haters in your life. Sometimes they'll drive you to your knees. Mm-hmm. Now somebody said, well, I don't need haters in my life. David said, thou prepareth a table before me. Where? In the presence of my haters. Or my enemies. You need somebody to watch you eat when God fix your feast. And guess what you're going to do? You're going to love that enemy and you're going to invite them to the table. That's the kind of love God puts in you. I trust you got something out of this, and because I've got to go sit down.